The results were amazing. If a pharmaceutical had achieved these results, it would have been on the NHS for sure.
So many miracles. I can't tell you how many miracles. And so when I look back, it's stepping stone, golden stepping stone, onto another golden stepping stone, to another. And just so blessed. So blessed.
So if energy healing works, why is it not more widely recognised? A common response might be, well, where's the proof? My next guest single-mindedly set about answering that question, helping to instigate one of the biggest, if not the biggest, scientific research projects into energy healing or spiritual healing, and with remarkable effect. Dr. Michael Dixon, head of the Royal Medical Household, described the results as spectacular. Sandy Edwards' account of her decade-long effort is available in a recently updated version of her fabulous and highly readable informative book, Spiritual Healing in Hospitals and Clinics. If you want to read something that explains spiritual healing and show that it works, not just tell you it works, then this is one of the many reasons to buy Sandy's book. Tremendous to have you on the show, Sandy, and congratulations on the book and the whole project. Before discussing the specifics, how about you let listeners know how you got into healing?
Well, I was originally on the quest to resolve psoriasis, which I had around the scalp, and nothing seemed to be available medically. Well, there wasn't anything. It's one of those medically incurable conditions, and I'd tried all kinds of complementary therapies. And then when I had a healing session, the healer said I should be a healer, and that would help the psoriasis. So I spoke to someone who gave me the details of the Healing Trust, which was then called the National Federation of Spiritual Healers. And there was a part one, the beginner's course, about to start, which in itself was a bit of a miracle because they were only offered once or twice a year and it was about to start. So I signed up. And when we were being taught, the tutor was talking about energies and colours and feeling this and feeling that around somebody's body. I felt nothing at all and saw nothing at all, completely unable to notice anything. So I just put my hands where the tutor told me to. And remarkably, the people that I was practicing on told me that pain had gone or that they felt this and saw that. But I was completely oblivious. So it was astonishing to me, really was. So when you get positive feedback, you have to carry on. So I did the 2 years course it was then, two-year training period. You're not training the whole time. So I did the training, and there's a final panel at the end of it, and I passed the panel. And on the way home, I thought, wouldn't it be good to have a healing centre near to where I live? There are voluntary healing groups. This is voluntary work. I was never expecting to earn a living, and I haven't ever. I've always been a volunteer, 25 years now, actually. Amazing how the time goes. But on the way home, I thought I'll open a healing group, have a go, and found a couple of other people to do the paperwork or sign the paperwork. I did all the paperwork, and I got the money. So that was in 2000, opened up a voluntary healing group. And that went very well. And then a lady who came for a session 5 years after we'd opened, a particular lady came for a session. I could see on the card that she'd been a couple of times already, but not had a session with me. And I noticed on the card that it didn't say how she discovered us. And so when I asked her, I was really taken aback that it was her consultant at the hospital who'd suggested she come. And he'd had some good reports already, apparently, but we weren't aware of that. And so I contacted this God man, and it was Dr. Sukhdev Singh at Gastroenterology Department at Good Hope Hospital. I offered my services free of charge at the hospital for his patients, and I described the professional standards that the Healing Trust adheres to. The minimum training period, the code of conduct, disciplinary procedures, and the national curriculum and accredited tutors, just all of the professional standards that I thought must be in place for anybody treating any NHS patients. And I also mentioned to him about Andrew Buxton King, who was employed at University College London Hospital at the time as a healer, as a paid healer, actually, on the NHS. And also Ruth Kay, who was another NFSH or Healing Trust healer, working a salaried healer in Leeds. So for the NHS. And he replied in positive terms, and we met, and within a, well, straight away, we were both keen to get this started, but the hospital took a year and a half to make the decision to allow it. Don't know why that would be. And so I started in the August of, I think, 2007, rings a bell. And I was giving healing sessions in a consultation room next door to Dr. Singh. They would have their usual consultation with him, and he would suggest to people that they might like a healing session. And most often people said yes if they weren't rushing off back to work or something, because they don't like to say no probably to their consultant. And it was only next door, free, and recommended by this person who he's really got a lovely attitude. He's got a bedside manner. He really makes you want to get well, I should think. But some of his patients had some very thick files. They'd been treated by him for a long time, or other parts of the hospital might not only be the one problem they have. And he would see each patient after the healing session, and he was very impressed by what he saw, which was lovely. And after a few weeks, I thought, all of these positive statements are just disappearing. So I asked if I could do a questionnaire, which is a hospital audit. And he agreed. So I made up some questions that I thought would be the most important to anybody. I didn't want it to be about gastroenterology, because that might not be their worst problem. So I thought things like pain relief, stress, sleeping well, relationships, personal relationships, those kind of things would be the most important to anybody. So I made up these questions, and those were given the approval by the ethics committee. Everything has to go to an ethics committee if you're doing anything with NHS patients. And I was able to get started with that just a few months after starting. And then straight after that, someone who was a Healing Trust member, I've never met her, never spoken to her, never seen her in my life, and even now, and she sent an email saying to me, only to me, why me? And she sent me an email telling me that the National Lottery had announced that morning that they're offering research grants to voluntary groups and non-profit places for projects that would help people and that people wanted and that could inform and change policy and procedures nationally. So, that ticked every box for us. And also on my audit, one of my questions was if it were possible to make healing available on a regular basis, would you be willing to have half a dozen sessions? Well, everybody said yes. So that ticked the boxes for everything that the lottery was after. So I went in to the hospital and saw Dr. Singh about this, and he, as it turned out, knew enough people in, and the right people, in the University of Birmingham, which is one of the top universities in the UK. That's a Russell Group university. That's the British version of the Ivy League in the States. That's the cream. So it's going to be one of the best universities in the world. And he got them on board. It's amazing. Why would a university want to sully their name, their hallowed name with spiritual healing? But Dr. Singh got it through. And there was a huge amount of competition for these funds from the lottery grant people. I went on two courses that they put on just so you could get through the complexity of the application procedure. I didn't want anything missed. I knew the university. Well, actually, it wasn't the university that made the application. It had to be a charity or non-profit place. Well, as it happened, another miracle. Dr. Singh was trustee of a medical charity in Birmingham that offered orthodox treatment alongside complementary therapies, and Healing Trust healers were part of the voluntary team that were giving the complementary therapies. And so he encouraged the Freshwinds, it was called, to make the application. They agreed. So amazingly, we got the money, and that was £205,000. It's very expensive to conduct any research. So we got the money. I was surprised that the healers would be paid. I just assumed it would all be voluntary, but it makes sense to be on an official footing. But the pay was really tiny, and some of the healers had to travel quite a bit to get to their hospital, but we were all keen to get this project done. So, I won't go into the detail. It was in, it's in the book. Actually, while this was all happening, I started writing a book about this, and, I thought nobody's going to read research papers. And if they do, they're very complex. So you need a guide to understand what's in the research paper. So I felt duty bound to write a book that takes such a chunk of your life. Goodness. I had to self-publish, actually, because you can't tell anybody about the research, because it has to remain a top secret until after the research papers have been published in medical journals. It's called a research trial. And I think that, to me, is like a criminal trial where none of the evidence can be in the public domain. It has to be taken by the court first. Otherwise, it ruins the case. And likewise, if the research information had got out into the public, then it might not have been taken and published by a medical journal. It would be rejected. So I had to self-publish initially. And so I didn't know anybody would ever buy a copy of my book. So I learned how to create the pages yourself, with where the numbers go, where the indents are, what typeface, where the chapters begin, what they're all, you know, everything. And the spine and the covers and the, oh, what a lot of work. Anyway, when the research papers were both published, I was able to press the button for that to be published, and the results were amazing. If a pharmaceutical had achieved these results, it would have been on the NHS for sure.
Super drug, yeah. I mean, that's an amazing high performance drug. Yeah.
It's much easier for people to just take tablets. That's easier than going somewhere and having a half-hour session, just relaxing. But the researchers from the university commented that they were very surprised at the high level of uptake by these people to have the healing sessions. And the people who were on the trial either had IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, or inflammatory bowel disease, which is mostly colitis, or it can be Crohn's disease. And they're all of them, all three, are terrible things to have. They affect every aspect of a sufferer's life. And it's miserable. It's really miserable. But for IBS people, there are no physical issues. There's nothing the matter with whatever inspections there are. There's nothing physically the matter with any of the tissues internally. But for the inflammatory disease people, yes. And so they can see why they've got such terrible symptoms. But the symptoms are real, just as real for the IBS people as for the colitis and Crohn's folks. But there isn't a medical cure for any of those conditions. So they ought to be interested in something that could help and that has no side effects. So maybe that's why there was such a high uptake. But then the researchers also commented that there was a very low dropout rate for a research trial. So people were really enjoying the healing sessions, and they noticed the difference themselves. The people that spoke to me, the people I saw on a Wednesday morning, my slot was Wednesday mornings. These are highly skeptical people as well that we're talking about. People have said to me at the hospital when Dr. Singh asked if they'd like a healing session. This is not in the trial. This is people who just had a
a consultation with him. They said to me, eyeball to eyeball, this isn't going to help. All I need is more tablets or different treatment or surgery. This is going to be no good at all. And after 20 minutes it takes for a healing session, but if you can't, saying hello and then bye afterwards, say half an hour. And within that time, people change their mind. most often. Very few didn't notice a single thing of benefit.
And sorry to interrupt. It's interesting that that's fascinating that people were so against it and were turned around so quickly. But just out of interest, what was the attitude of the NHS staff that you were working around as well as Dr. Singh? Did you find you were welcome?
Yes, actually, because Dr. Singh is such a well-respected person in his own right that whatever he said, other people said, oh, yes, must be all right then. But the people who were on the reception desk and the nurses, they were hearing what these people had to say. And it wasn't long before they were encouraging people in the waiting room, why don't you have a healing session? So it was very nice. And a lot of nurses had, and the reception girls did have healing sessions with me, which was lovely. I was able to introduce other healers into the hospital as well. And they went to work in other departments, specifically the cancer department. But other departments wanted us as well. But it's difficult to find healers, like volunteer healers. You've got to be able to afford not to work, which I was fortunate to not have to, and or else be retired. And volunteers don't grow on trees either.
So your impression then is that there's massive demand for healers, or there's potentially massive demand?
I think if there was a paid position at the hospital, at Good Hope, where it's already been introduced. I mean, I've not been able to find someone to replace me in all those years. I've looked and I've advertised, I've done everything I can to find someone to replace me. And I think COVID also knocked things on the head. The voluntary healing group that I set up finished when COVID began, and it hasn't set up again since. People go off on different directions, and the people running it were older, or, you know, some people even passed away. So it hasn't resumed as yet, but who knows? Maybe other groups. But I think really what I would like to see is healers working in hospitals and doctor's surgeries. That would be my aim. That's where people are more likely to accept having it.
And how do you see that coming about if it is to happen?
It needs to be advertised more freely in the media to start with, I think, and also the places like the Dr. Healer Network and the Scientific and Medical Network. Yes, those sorts of places do have doctors on board who know that healing works. They're healers themselves in addition to their medical healing that they do, because it's all healing. It probably would be small beginnings, but if the media would pick it up, that would be very handy. When the trial first started, there was a big whole page in a national paper that was ripping it to bits, and they showed people lying down having so-called a healing session, but they got no clothes on. And you know, that isn't how it is. You're fully dressed. Keep your hat and shoes on if you want to. But it was totally, totally misrepresented. And I got onto the paper after the research results were out to say, well, let's have a full page showing what the results were. But they wouldn't. They wouldn't at all. And I wrote off to all kinds of papers and magazines and TV networks, and only niche magazines would run stories. And they did big ones. They were very, very good. All of those are very big and positive, but didn't actually reach any of the nationals or radio, television. BBC News came along and they did something. You know, you get your BBC national news and then there's the regional. So the regional came and they did an okay job, but it didn't come across so well in the finished article on the television. But the crew, the television crew, said, look, we need your leaflets to take back to BBC because so many people there would love to know about this healing. So the crew and the interviewer got the idea, but it didn't come across so well in the finished article.
There's a strange situation, and you reflect it really well in your book. With you get all these positive comments from doctors, from nurses, from the journalists themselves, and yet it's all a bit of a secret. Nobody really wants to talk about it. I even had a client who had a remarkable recovery, and I said, well, did you mention it to your doctor, who described the situation as a miracle? And she said, well, no, I couldn't say anything because it's not accepted. So there's this sort of, it feels like it's bubbling under still in the shadows and unable to come out.
Just people assume that a doctor won't accept that, but I think they could be surprised if they did own up and say it was a healer who sorted this out for me. I think they'd be surprised. But also, the more they hear it, the more they'll think, well, I ought to have somebody like that here. That was why Dr. Singh wanted a healer or a complementary therapist of some sort that could help his patients, because these people had already received best medical care, and some of them had been treated by him as a specialist and other specialists and were still suffering. But some people that he'd seen for many years recovered just after the one healing session from me.
Amazing.
And him to see it. Now, that for him to see that, that's something very different to most healers. Most healers don't have that, where some a consultant witnesses that recovery themselves. They know that person. They know how likely that recovery is. And yet it happened, in that short while.
This is one of the reasons I have so much admiration for what you've done, is that so often spiritual healing, when it's discussed, there's two things. It'll be pseudoscience, so that is a word that people like to bandy around. Yet your study is very scientific and rigorous. Just read it and see how pseudo that science is. Secondly, people say, well, it's the placebo effect. That's why people have getting these benefits from healing. Well, those people in this study could have had the placebo effect for years from all the treatment, and yet they remain remarkable recoveries thanks to healing. Yeah. Placebo effect seems very choosy if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Lord Baldwin's story made it into the published book. Oh, now there was another miracle. No publisher will ever touch a self-published book. And yet another miracle was that a publisher that I approached, well, I had an introduction to them, what turned out to be the largest publisher in the world in this genre. And they took a bit of convincing, actually. I did have another couple of goes at them. And then they did realise that they should publish my book. But getting back to your placebo point, what I wanted to mention, Lord Baldwin was a patron of the Healing Trust. And when he was young, he did a lot of heavy duty sports that put a lot of pressure on his knees. Even though he was young, he was only late teens or early 20s, he was sent to every specialist. He was from a rich family, of course. He saw the best there was, and nobody could sort out his knees. And a friend said, why don't you go and see this healer that I know? And so he went to see that healer, and the healer was chatting about the state of the country or what his political views were throughout the whole of the healer was. So he wasn't even concentrating on what he was doing. And so Lord Baldwin, well, he wasn't Lord Baldwin then, but he was later on. And so he went home and his knees didn't feel any better. But I think that's how the story went. I should have reminded myself before saying this, that it's in my book. So he next day he was right as rain, and he's been right as rain ever since. And I did meet him, actually. Anyway, that's another story. But he said that he had every confidence in all of those high-profile surgeons and medical doctors that he saw, but he had no confidence at all in the spiritual healer. And yet it was so the placebo couldn't have been a part of his recovery. And that is also the case for these highly sceptical patients that I saw at the hospital. They didn't expect to have healing when they arrived at the hospital. The ones that came from Dr. Singh, you know, the ones who were on the trial obviously expected, but still.
So coming back to the trial then, what was the situation that you found yourself in when you discovered just how good the results had been?
Well, I was on the steering group throughout the whole program. And so I knew what was happening behind the scenes, but I just couldn't speak about it because it's all secret. And there was the one steering group meeting where they showed the figures, and it was complicated to look at, really. The way it worked, we couldn't have a placebo, because there have been healing trials where they had a placebo guided by a sham healer. So they were actors showing how to make it look. But people benefited from the sham healers because everybody is a healer. I'm a healer. Everybody's a healer. The people I do healing on, they're healers. But they just don't know. They just didn't realise that they were. They still don't know, mostly, most of them. But everybody is a healer. It's inherent. It's a part of being human. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So it's just a method of training. And you do need to be trained properly. Otherwise, you can be taking on other people's unhelpful elements. If you feel down after giving a healing session, you've given away your energy, or else you've taken on their downness. And some healers feel pain in their own body. Well, that's not the way it should be. It should always be a win-win situation when you're giving healing. And you don't need to know what's the matter with anybody either. Of course, in gastroenteritis department, I knew they got gastro. But there were other things worse the matter with some of these people.
Yeah, we were just discovering about the results. But, of course, you saw the results unwinding through over the 2 years of this project. So I think so people listening, this was 2012, I think, that you completed the research. So that was going on for 2 years
it
up
took,
to then.
2 years to see all the people who were having the healing sessions, because they were having 5 healing sessions each, one each week, and there were 200 people on the trial. So it took 2 years. And also the figures had to be worked on and sent back to the lottery people. Within the 2 years, though we did have to get extensions to the time. So there were different hoops to go through. And it took a while after that. It was a while after that that the University of Birmingham managed to get it reviewed, all the research results reviewed by their own peers. You know, you get peer review. Mm-hmm. And that took a long while. It needed some nudging. I think that it had to go through so many checks and balances to make sure that nothing could be criticised, because you can imagine what the media would make of that. And University of Birmingham's reputation would be on the line, as would the researchers themselves. They don't want to have anything come back at them. So it was highly rigorous. So on the research trial, there were 200 patients. And normally the gold standard is that you have the treatment group and a placebo group and a group that doesn't have the treatment. Well, first of all, it wouldn't be fair, we didn't think, for people to agree to have the healing but then be stopped from having it. So the way the researchers worked it out was that half the patients would have the healing session straight away, and the other half would have to wait for 3 months. Then the group that started at the beginning, that had their healing sessions immediately, there was enough time available to see if they still benefited 3 months after their, I think it was 3 months, after their last healing session. And all of the results for everybody was great. Really, not for every single person, of course, probably, but the results were astonishingly good. And no side effects either. So, and the questionnaires covered things like their symptoms and their well-being. And then there was an interview with 22 people to be able to see what they had to say about it, not just the numbers. So that's a quantitative study with the numbers and a qualitative study with the interviews. So the quantitative is like the skeleton, and the qualitative puts flesh on the bones. And all of the three questionnaires, they married up, so it showed that it gave confidence that each one was showing positive results. And the people who waited for 3 months, we could now compare people who'd not had the healing with the people who had received the healing, and they were vastly better, the ones who had received the healing. And then once the people who waited had theirs, they bounced up to the same positive level as the ones who started straight away. So it was double confirmation that the results were correct. And, of course, the three questionnaires all supported each other. So that validated all of the results doubly and triply. So it was really well done how they did it. Because when you have the gold standard, you're also supposed to have a placebo, but you can't have a placebo with something like this. You can't have a placebo for physiotherapy. You're either having physiotherapy or you're not. So they've managed to get that into the NHS. And so there has to be a method that is acceptable to the scientific and medical world for this kind of a thing. And in healing trials before, where they've used sham healers, so actors who've just been shown how to place your hands, then the people who received sham healing, so-called, they benefited almost as much as the ones with trained healers. So that's because everybody's a healer. And some of those sham healers did go on to train to be healers because they realised the benefit that they were providing to those people. And that in itself is a joy.
Wow. That's amazing. One aspect of the book, you talk about the potential cost savings. So there's suddenly all these people who no longer need drugs or don't need lifelong treatment. Are you aware if anyone's taken that further, looked into the research and into the numbers?
Nobody has, but that is something I've been trying to get onto, because there is a therapy that is available on the NHS that it fits that exact same thing. And the chap who got that paperwork through, it's a massive load of paperwork to get something through. It has to go through NICE, N-I-C-E, first, before it can be accepted by the NHS. I think that's how it works. So it has to be value for money, and it has to be something that's shown to have benefited people. And we tick all of those boxes, but getting that paperwork done. So I wanted a copy of that paperwork so we could replicate it and get healing on the cards. So far, the two people who did put, and I've got their names and their numbers, they won't return my calls. So I'm probably going to have to make some better inquiries. The one person said it was far too much work. He doesn't want to do that again. But if I just had a copy, I'm sure I'd be able to do something with it. Who knows? But that's my next. That's something I'm working on.
Another place that this journey took you was that before the House of Lords. Maybe you can tell us about that.
Well, that was another miracle. I was invited by the all-party parliamentary subcommittee for integrated health, and it doesn't exist anymore. But I was invited to present the results to that subcommittee, and I'm told that they have good sway. And I went along and gave the presentation. In amongst this, I had terrible, terrible public speaking issues. I had to heal myself because I couldn't even speak to a small group of friends. Reading from a piece of paper where all the words are easy and the subject's easy, I was a mess. I would meet myself coming back. The words wouldn't make sense on the page. But I knew I had to heal myself of public speaking issues to be able to get the word out to other people. How could I tell anybody? So when you've got a book published, you have to promote that book more than you ever spent time writing the book, which was colossal in itself. So you've got to be able to speak. And I still hadn't worked through all of those issues, not even now, really. But at least I can string some words together and make people understand what I'm talking about, which I couldn't do at all before. I'd just be a gibbering wreck. Oh, gosh, awful. But in the last few years, I think, really, I've made better strides. But I gave this...
It's lovely listening to you talk. Please don't put yourself down like that. Keep going.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anyway, when I thought I'd done an okay job at the Parliament, but one of the people who regularly went to that meeting, those meetings of that subcommittee, she told me I'd fired the audience up. And that was very, very good of her. And it's very good of them to have made the journey to get there, because there would have been about 60 people, I think, in the audience. And it was a shocking, terrible weather, dreadful. And so they'd made their way across London or wherever, that maybe over the road, to get to see me speak, which was very good of them. But it didn't come to anything. I thought that might have helped bounce something else, but it didn't happen. But I also was invited to speak at the Geographical Society, and I thought that might lead to something, but no. So it's just all good practice for when the big things occur. I don't know.
So how has the response been to the second updated version of the book, Sandy? How are the sales going?
I don't know really how well the sales are going. The number of sales, I don't think, has been massive. But then I'm just glad that anybody's buying the book. I didn't know that anybody would buy my book. So I'm just thrilled that they have. But the German publisher sold 1,800 copies in the first 5 weeks. Wow. That's a different publisher. That happened a few years before. And yes, wow. So they must be really up for it in Germany. And there was a German filmmaker who came over and made a film. Not just me, there were a number of really big names. I was very impressed with how many people he managed to get onto his documentary. Another filmmaker came who did a documentary for a niche television channel, pay for. So it's all happening, but in niche areas. We need the big time, really.
Yeah.
I have written to Oprah Winfrey, but she hasn't written back.
But so when you look back on the whole experience now, it's still unfolding, obviously, but this is something that's taken such a big part of your life for so many years, from the seed of an idea to getting the lottery funding to getting the researchers, etc., etc. How do you look back on this monumental achievement?
Well, when people tell me it's monumental, I think, oh, well, I suppose it is, really. But at the time, you just get on with it and you keep going and you do what you need to do. And, it is really astonishing. And I'm so grateful to the universe. But this is the thing that all of us can be doing, because if you make it clear to the universe what it is you wish to achieve, the universe knows then they're clear what they're to deliver. So I think you need to be passionate. That turns the key. And it's just a wonderful thing to be aware of healing. We're so lucky, aren't we, to know that this exists and it works. And it really does work. I've healed myself of so many different things. There's the public speaking. That was one. So it's mind, body and spirit. It's the whole, spirit is perfect anyway, probably. But mind, body and emotions are all getting fixed by healing. And we can heal anything and anybody and everywhere and everything. It's just within us. We are it. This is where the book stops. It's us. So if we're unhappy with anything that's out there, seems like out there in the world, if we heal the part within our own selves that's troubled by that thing that's out there, that's where we really need to focus. I went on to self-healing there, didn't I? But yes, we are it. The book stops here.
Heal yourself, heal the world.
Yeah. And isn't it, I can't remember who said it, but be what you wish to see in the world. And it's a challenge. It's always a challenge. there's always a challenge going on in your life. I mean, if there's no challenge, there's no point being here anymore. It's your time's up. So if you're alive, there are challenges to be faced, and seeing them in the most positive way is where it's at. And that's hard at times, very hard. There's been so in everybody's lives, there's something that's going to, you know, make them stop in their tracks. And the one that really made me stop in my tracks was when my sister's baby died. That's what made me, emotion needs healing here. But I gave away my business and focused on what was a lucrative business as well. I just gave it away. And I left some money in the account to cover salaries and rent. And I gave it to someone who knew the business inside out. So that was me done. I'm off now. Focus on what's important. Healing, family. That's it. And that was what made me have enough time then. And luckily my business provided me with funds to be able to live frugally and manage to do all the voluntary work I've done. Hurrah! I think it landed, and that business landed on my lap. So many miracles. I can't tell you how many miracles. And so when I look back, it's stepping stone, golden stepping stone, onto another golden stepping stone, to another. And just so blessed. So blessed. And all the different people that have come to the fore to make this all happen. So I don't believe that the universe or God or whatever you want to call the, can't have got this far without wanting this to mushroom, to become something big. Maybe it's ready now. I don't know. But I suppose it needs some energy behind it, and for me to be absolutely comfortable with speaking to big audiences and to famous people or whatever it is that can really get you nervous, to be able to be just as comfortable.
You can do it, Sandy. You can do it.
Oh dear. Our Dr. Singh was such a lovely person. He's like incredible. To put his name, his hallowed name on the banner of spiritual healing. So brave, so incredibly brave.
It's good that you mentioned.
He must have been so relieved to see that the results of the research were brilliant. He was already, and still does, offer mindfulness classes to his patients out of his own time. On the hospital premises, they have to sign up for it, but they don't pay anything. It's just so that they are committed to doing it. And for him to devote his precious time like that is truly amazing. And people like him and Dr. Michael Dixon, who so kindly, generously wrote the foreword in my book, I had known that he had a spiritual healer working in his own surgery, and that's why I asked him. I've never met him, but he agreed to write the foreword, and he did such a sparkling one. It was amazing. I took out some of the superlatives because I thought people will think I wrote this myself.
Sandy Edwards' story is one of dogged perseverance on behalf of her patients. Her pioneering work is an example to us all. The results are spectacular. They're not necessarily surprising for those who have either witnessed or received healing themselves. While Sandy Edwards has taken science just about as far as it can go, her quest is underlaid by deep humanity and compassion. That, after all, is what healing is all about.
When I picked up the email, because I was thinking, oh, it's getting time to for publication, it's getting time, and maybe he's not going to do it, I've got to find somebody else. Well, once I picked up the email, I did cry. And the thing I was going to say about when the steering group, I was on the steering group, when they presented the results, I could see that there was a rise in the improvement of the people who were on the waiting list. They'd not had their healing sessions yet. And but it was only a small rise, but it was a universal rise across the board. And I said, can that be right? And they said, yes, even if they're not having any treatment, but they know that people are taking an interest, they improve. And I've devoted a whole chapter to the placebo effect, and that one is part of it as well.
Fascinating. It's called the Hawthorne effect. Also remember, the patients that had the full 5 treatments went on to show greater signs of improvement, which is a really interesting thing, because we're always asked as healers, how many sessions do I need? Is one enough? And you sort of say, well, yeah, probably, but it makes sense to have a 4 or 5 if you can. And that's facts. That's putting meat on the bones.
Well, for me, when I first went for healing, because this was before the healer who told me I should be a healer. So when I went for healing myself, I went for half a dozen sessions, and in each session, I enjoyed the session. It was relaxing. I wasn't aware of anything particularly. But it was after 6 sessions that I noticed the massive difference. It had been so incrementally small that I hadn't noticed. And after 6 sessions, a deep fear that I hadn't been, I hadn't even thought of. And if the healer had asked me what's the matter, I would have just said psoriasis here. I wouldn't have even thought of this deep-seated fear that I had. It was of being in the house on my own alone at night, that I would stay awake all night for fear of burglars or what have you. That had never happened in my life, and still not now. Touch wood, never does. But I could do all the maths and think how many nights, how many hours have gone by with never having had that issue. And it still didn't make a difference, because emotions run high, logic has got no chance. That's why smoking is an emotional thing. There's logic, it's got no chance. And I know this because I was a smoker, and it's an emotional thing. The same as being addicted to eating or working or biting your nails. It's all emotion that's at play. And you can speak till you're blue in the face of the no sense in doing that thing. It's emotions where it's seated. So when I went for healing, I knew it had taken me 6 sessions to notice the difference, and I carried on going for healing because it was obviously making a big difference. It didn't actually solve the psoriasis. That's why I went to see another type of healer later on. So that's why when I became a trustee of the Healing Trust, I made sure it was in all of the paperwork, have 5 or 6 sessions. And that's why on the steering committee, I said it needs to be 5 or 6 sessions, and it needs to be only Healing Trust healers, so that it's you're sure of the training and of the method that people are going to use. Of course, the researchers didn't think it mattered a hoot who did the healing, you know, just get any old healers. But I think with a research trial, everything needs to be as free of anomalies as you possibly can. So even with Healing Trust trained healers, they're supposed to do just the way we're trained. Maybe they probably don't all. And so all you could say is they're all Healing Trust healers that treated all 200 of those patients.
Maybe we should finish. I was going to ask you how it's changed your life, but I think we've covered that in so many ways. But maybe you could, let's look forward, and if anyone's watching who's thinking about becoming a healer, what would you say to them?
Do it. Everybody is a healer, and I would always recommend the Healing Trust for having the healer training. It's there are only a few places that have such high standards. And even if you only want to heal yourself and your family or your cat, you can do parts 1 and 2, and then you're equipped to do that. Once you go to parts 3 and 4, then of course you're gearing up for healing, offering healing to the public. If you've had a healing session from someone and you notice the benefit, then that tells me that you're a natural healer, and it is really good for you to use that facility for your own good as well as someone else's. The psoriasis for me has completely cleared up and gone. So it is a medically incurable. So evidently healing has done that for me, and also the public speaking, and for a mysterious stabbing pain so I was getting in the abdomen. No medical treatment was available for that. And I healed myself in seconds. I hadn't remembered to heal myself. And then when a moment I did, during one of these attacks that were so painful, it disappeared out of my body. It just travelled backwards out of my body. I felt it go. Wow. And then I was able to have the wow factor that so many patients have expressed after a healing session with me and with other healers, not just me. And then I was able to really experience the wow, how can that have happened? And I was just having all of this euphoria that this pain had gone. And I felt it starting to come back into my body from behind. It was coming back in to my body. And I thought, wow, now let's get on to the healing. And I did the healing again, and it disappeared. It travelled back out of my body with a sensation of some sort, not pain, but I could tell that that's what it was. And so that disappeared back outside of my body, and I never once had even a slight anything after that. And that had been troubling me for enough months to have gone through the painkillers that didn't work and doctor's appointments that nothing doing there. And I was waiting for a scan to see if they could see what was the matter. And while I was waiting for the scan was while I did this self-healing. And I've healed all kinds of other different little bits and bobs. It's amazing. Healing is amazing. But great training is the way to go.
Well, on that note, I think we'll say thank you very much, Sandy, for sharing your wisdom and your experience. And if anyone wants to read Sandy's books, we'll put the links down below. I think as a general book to introduce you to spiritual healing, it's excellent, let alone the crazy story of how this lady from West Midlands somehow got a national lottery grant and it ended up with this enormous study showing what we all knew as healers, that healing works.
And it does. Yeah, definitely does. Oh, you know, before the interview, you sent an email and you said possible questions. And one was at the bottom was how many healers does it take to
change your life? Yeah.
And immediately I thought, none, because we all are the light bulb. We just need to switch ourselves on. That's it. We are all. So let's get on with it. The quicker we do, the better it is. Light everywhere in the world.
Thanks, Sandy. Keep shining your light. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.